comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
Hi, folks, and welcome to the Kevin Smith Show. Whoever you are, wherever you happen to be, all around this gorgeous planet we call Earth, thank you for being here at the Kevin Smith Show. I know you could be doing a million other things, but you chose to be here, and I appreciate that. I'm here because you have a right to know, and I'm here because you matter. We have, coming up on June 30th, the Alternative Universe Eye Conference. The Alternative Universe Eye Conference is absolutely unique. There's nothing else like it on this planet. And you're going to get a fantastic conference coming straight to you. You don't have to go to it. It comes to you live. And you have question and answer period after each of the speakers. Just like you were in a conference hall somewhere, but it comes to you, so you don't have to buy a plane ticket or fuel for your car, you don't have to pay for a hotel, you don't have to pay for any extra meals out, and on top of that, the ticket is only $10. There's absolutely zero genius in not having your ticket and being at the Alternative Universe Eye Conference. So we've done everything we can to make this affordable for just about everybody, and we want you to be there. That's why we've done it. Now, the speakers this time, Brooks Agnew, Jerry Wills, Greg Bishop, Dr. Courtney Brown, and Micah Hanks. And so you're going to get all of those for $10. Only if you buy the ticket. So here's how you do it. Scoot over to my website, kevinsmithshow.com. Click that gigantic link that says Alternative Universe Eye Conference and buy your ticket. Also, while you're at my website, if you have not yet subscribed to the K-Files, be sure you do. The K-Files is our free weekly newsletter. Absolutely free. And no strings attached, and you can unsubscribe anytime you want to. However, most people stay with us forever. We have people that subscribed back in 2000 when we first started that are still with us, still getting the K-Files, and that must mean it's pretty good stuff. Well, we want you to get this pretty good stuff, and it's free, so be sure you subscribe while you're there. Also, if you're not one of our members, it's always free to listen to the show. You can listen for free. But if you're not one of our members, well, you're not getting to see the show tonight. In order to watch the show live, you need to be a member. In order to get into our forums, our archives, our video galaxy, you need to be a member. And we need you to be a member. We don't sell advertising. You notice we don't play any spots for Coca-Cola. We don't play any spots for Ford or Chevrolet. No spots for any of the political candidates. You know, we don't have advertisers by choice. We're 100% listener supported. But I think that when you support the show, you ought to get something of value in return, and that's our members community. Nobody but you can fix it. If you are not a member, click where it says join and become a member. $7.50 a month, and you'll be helping us continue doing what we are going to do tonight. We'll be back right after this. All right, welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. For the past few days, the internet has been absolutely on fire with a story about Fidel Castro having told someone that he has seen a recovered UFO and it's the body of its alien pilot. Now, according to the story, this happened several years ago during the days of the Soviet Union while he was visiting in the Soviet Union. That story was written by a world-renowned journalist by the name of Jorge Martin. And if you go to his site and you read the story, be sure you read the other articles he has there. It is astounding. Jorge Martin is a journalist, as I said. He studied political science at the University of Puerto Rico and began journalistic investigation of UFOs back in 1975. His work has been published in the USA, the United Kingdom, Germany, France, Japan, Italy, China, Spain, Romania, Russia, Brazil, Argentina, Ecuador, Mexico, Guatemala, Costa Rica, and many other places. You may have also seen his work on the History Channel, Discovery Channel, National Geographic Explorer. So Jorge Martin is certainly not someone that we don't know in the UFO community. He's someone that we do know. And we are privileged to have Jorge Martin with us this evening, speaking to us from San Juan, Puerto Rico. Jorge Martin, welcome to the Kevin Smith Show.
Thank you, sir.
And I am going to see what I can do. I'm just checking now. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, I do, sir. But before that, I would like to express my gratitude to you for inviting me to your show.
Oh, well, you certainly are welcome, and we're delighted to have you here. Jorge, this is an astounding, interesting, compelling story about Fidel Castro, and you did a little investigation beyond that to try and figure out where perhaps he may have seen, well, the location where he may have seen this captured or recovered UFO and the body of its pilot. So let's just dive into this. This, as I understand, and I may be wrong, but if I am, you correct me. As I understand, you heard this story in 2002.
That's correct.
Okay, but you've held on to it until now. Why is that?
Well, I held on to it until now because the person who told me this information was a very well-known filmmaker from Cuba who visited Puerto Rico in that year to participate in a film festival that was being celebrated here in Puerto Rico, the San Juan Cinema Fest. And he was also interested in the UFO matter, and he had produced a documentary in Cuba, UFOs in Cuba. It was a very good documentary, informing on many incidents that had been happening in Cuba for many years, from which we knew nothing about, you know. He was very interested. And as he knew about our work and our research here in Puerto Rico about the UFO incident, and he was here visiting the island, he wanted to meet with us and have a chat about the different aspects of the UFO incidents back in Cuba and the one in Puerto Rico.
Now, what was his...
The documentary, and he told me this story we were talking about.
And what is his name?
His name is... Octavio Cortázar.
Okay, now he and he's very well known in Cuba, right?
Yes, very well known in Cuba and abroad because he was a filmmaker. He was one of the organizer of the film school in Cuba and television school in Cuba, and he was also vice president of what the prestigious UNIAC, let's say in English it would be like the National Union of Writers and Artists of Cuba.
Okay, so he told you this story about Fidel Castro having seen a UFO and an alien in the Soviet Union.
Not him. At first he told me about Castro having met with the ideas of Pope John Paul II in his visit to Cuba in 1998.
Okay.
And he had this reunion with the assistant of the Pope and another gentleman, another priest, and they talked about the possibility of alien life in the universe, apart from human life, and they expressed that they were in accordance with that, okay? And he was very open to the idea, but I, you know, when he told me this, I wondered why would Castro be so interested in this type of matter, you know? And then afterwards, about 2 years later, I was participating in a book festival here in San Juan, Puerto Rico, where I was presenting my book, Vieques Caribbean UFO Cover-Up of the Third Time, which had to do with information we have found related to an apparent U.S. Navy alien contact program in the island of Vieques, here in Puerto Rico, in the archipelago. And this gentleman from Puerto Rico, an attorney who is well known, Juan Mari Braz, who is a pro-independence leader here in Puerto Rico and socialist, etc., who used to be a very good friend of Fidel Castro when he visited Cuba, was there also presenting a book of his on his political ideas. And we spoke for some minutes there, and there was this woman who is very close to him, Mrs. Providencia Trabal, and we began talking about what I was reporting in my book. And Mr. Mari Braz had to leave, and she began talking to us about some personal experiences she has had with UFOs here in Puerto Rico. And all of a sudden, she said, "Hey, you know something? Mr. Mari Braz knows a lot about this because Fidel Castro told him about something he has seen pertaining to UFOs." And I said, "What? Fidel Castro talking about UFOs and aliens and things like that?" And she said, "Yes." And then she explained what Fidel Castro told personally to Juan Mari Braz, who directs his political ideas and everything. He's a very serious person, reliable, and he said that on one occasion they were in Cuba in a meeting, and all of a sudden this subject came about UFOs and aliens, etc. And Castro told him that on one occasion, when he visited the Soviet Union before the fall of the Soviet Union, he was taken by the authorities to a military base where they had this special laboratory site. And in that place, they had this flying saucer typecraft, which they showed to him, and the body of one of his occupants, which she described as pertaining to Mr. Mari Braz told her, a tall, human-like alien dressed in white. They have in a sort of a box-like freezing apparatus. Afterwards, I tried to talk to Mr. Mari Braz when he came back to the festival. And even though he said that it was true, he wouldn't elaborate more on that because he had the feeling that Fidel Castro had told him this in confidence. And he felt a little unsure about talking too much about this the matter. But he verified everything that she had told me.
So, hello? Yes, so you have decided, all this time has passed, and and you did not publish this, but you've decided to publish it now. What has happened that made you decide to publish this now?
Well, the thing is that recently I saw in a TV news here in Puerto Rico, in a TV station that has a report from South America and other places, that Fidel Castro had written a reflection. he has this type of small letters that he writes, expressing opinions on this and that, you know, political matters, ecological matters, etc. And he wrote about the, among other things, about the discussion he had in 1998 with the ideas of the of Pope John Paul II, and later on with the Pope himself, about the life in the universe. Even though he wouldn't talk about, in the article about the aliens and UFOs, he was very open about the discussion they had with pertaining to the to life in the universe, and that they were, they agreed that the possibility was very big. And Mr. Cortázar had told me that about what he knew about the discussion they had had in that occasion, that they even talked about aliens and UFOs, and the Pope was very open to the idea. And Castro had discussed it with him too. But in that occasion, Mr. Cortázar, when I told him that if I could publish this publicly, he told me that he would like to, for Castro himself, to reveal this before anything came out, because it was told to him in confidence. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
But as Castro published this article now, talking about his meeting with the Pope and what they discussed, I felt that the door was open already to get this out to the public. Okay? I gave my word to Mr. Cortázar, but at the same time, as Castro did this now, I felt that I could do it. So I did.
So Castro's article about this came out, I believe, back in March.
Yeah, that's correct.
Mm-hmm. Of this year. And he tells about this meeting with the AIDS or assistance to the Pope, and then about his meeting with the Pope as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so because of that, and he talks about that they discussed intelligent life in the universe.
Mm-hmm.
Castro writes about this in his article. And because of this, you felt, okay, the door is now open, and I can tell the world what I have heard.
That's correct. That's my opinion on the whole thing.
Okay, so you went beyond, in your article, you went beyond this information. This is astounding information anyway, because Castro said in a meeting that when he was visiting the Soviet Union, he had been taken to a place and shown a recovered UFO, and he had been shown its the body of its pilot. And I believe you said he was a tall, human-looking pilot in a white jumpsuit, sort of, right?
That's correct. That's what Mr. Mari Brás told Mrs. Providencia Trabal.
Mm-hmm.
Told me.
Okay, but you went beyond in your investigating and tried to figure out what location would this have been at. And I was intrigued by the fact that you sort of seemed to have settled on it probably was at a place called Katushin Yar.
Kapustin Yar.
And this Kapustin Yar is a facility something like our Area 51.
Mm-hmm.
And with your article, you published sketches of the alien spacecraft that they have there. Tell us about the sketch. Where did you get these sketches from?
Okay, the sketch is from an Italian journalist, a UFO researcher, a colleague, Constantino Paglialunga. He was visiting Russia back in the 90s, and he was able to speak with several people, agents who were working in some of these bases, where it was rumored that they had this Area 51 type facility. And during the interviews he made together with Giorgio Bongiovanni and other people with military and special agents who work in these places, he was giving a lot of information about the activities they have there, the research they're doing with the down and capture and retrieve craft from alien origin, the reverse engineering they're doing on this type of craft they have there. And they gave them many type of sketches of the type of craft they have, the work they are doing, et cetera, and the places they are at. About your question on how I pinpointed, I'm just hypothesizing on the probability that this Kapustin Yar base is the one where Castro was taken to. Because I remember doing some research before doing the article, that during one of his visits to the Soviet Union in the 60s or maybe the beginning of the 70s, he was taken by the Soviet authorities to this area of Shiktur and the Astrakhan Kapustin Yar area. And that's an area that has been a site of many UFO incidents, okay? On many occasions, UFOs have been filmed there, as well as in the Plasetsk missilistic base. And apparently, they are very interested in what's going on in the base. These objects are often seen there, filmed, photographed. There are many reports, official reports from the KGB, from the military forces. And there are even pictures I show in the article. And for that reason, I believe that he was taken there, okay, because it is expressly mentioned that he was taken to the area of Shiktun and Astrakhan, and that's the area where this base is located at.
Okay. Well, you know, the sketches of the recovered UFOs are extremely interesting because what we're looking at is 5 different UFO type vehicles, and there's one of those that I have seen, the one right out front. We have two rows of UFOs. One of the row nearest us is a cylinder shape, and then I don't know, a kind of a wedge shape, and then there's another row, the second row, and the one in front looks something like the heel of a shoe, and then the one in the middle looks like a classic flying saucer, and the one at the back, smaller flying saucer. Well, the one that looks like the heel of the shoe, I've seen that. I've seen that in the air. So that's very interesting. I've never described that one to anybody. So I was a little surprised when I saw it on this sketch, leading me to think, you know what? The people that provided that sketch probably told the truth here. Okay, Jorge, we have to take a break. We'll be back in just a moment and continue our conversation with Jorge Martin. Don't go away.
Virginia, and you are smart because you are listening to The Kevin Smith Show.
Proving once again why this is talk radio like nowhere else on earth. This is, in fact, The Kevin Smith Show, and I am Kevin Smith, your host. We are talking with Jorge Martin from Puerto Rico. And Jorge, there is this is just a fabulous story. You've really done a great job reporting on this and breaking this news to the world. And I want to thank you for doing that. And there's another story that you that's on your site that I want to talk with you about.
Mm-hmm.
And that is Vieques. I think everyone in, well, I don't know that everyone in the United States will remember this because most people in the United States are brain dead, but, you know, they're asleep. But for those who are not asleep and who are not mushrooms, you remember when the U.S. Navy made people leave Vieques so they could, they said, practice bombing or practice missiles or something there. But you've done some reporting on that, and you say that's not the case. You say they did something else.
Yeah, that's correct, sir.
And what is it they did?
Well, the thing is, Vieques was not abandoned by Tripoli. It is an inhabited island. And the U.S. Navy had this island. Most of the island was converted into a military practices site and bombing practices site. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
The middle of the island is the portion where the people of Vieques live. The other two portions to the east and to the west of Vieques belong to the U.S. Navy base, where they have these bunkers and everything, and the base, and at the western side, the east side, they have the bombing practices, the restricted site for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
But as you may remember, there was this struggle back in years 1999, 2000, and the people of Vieques wanted the U.S. Navy to leave because of things, something that had happened, and some mistakes, and people had died due to the bombings, etc. But we found out that the information coming out from an incident that had happened here was so ambiguous. A person had died, one of the guards, Puerto Rican guards in the bombing site area, had died due to a mistake from one of the guests that let go a bomb where it shouldn't have, and this person died due to that. And the Vieques wanted the U.S. Navy to leave. But the information was so sketchy and ambiguous that whenever that happens, we have noticed that here in Puerto Rico, when that happens, even though we know that there are political reasons, et cetera, because of the situation of Puerto Rico pertaining to the U.S. Navy, et cetera, that they wouldn't want to talk too openly about some things pertaining to what happened. But we have noticed that whenever the UFO matter is involved, you see this ambiguity in the authorities in the way they talk and report on the things that happen. And we began wondering, can there be something related to UFOs going on there, as we have seen before in other parts of the island of Puerto Rico, as in the southwest of Puerto Rico? And we went there. I went there with my wife and began doing some research with the people of Vieques. And what we found, Mr. Smith, was really out of information of the incidence of UFOs and aliens there in Vieques was incredible. And we also found that the U.S. Navy had an apparent secret program which had to do with alien contact and apparently with some type of alien technology testing going on there in the area that was used by the U.S. Navy for the bombing practices, okay?
Mm-hmm.
We talked to lots of fishermen from the island, to policemen, municipal policemen, people from the municipality government of the island. We spoke even with people who work in security for the U.S. Navy, both civilians and who work directly with the U.S. Navy in the site. And they told us about the craft, huge craft that on some occasion came down at the bombing site. Okay? And whenever those craft came down, the Puerto Rican personnel and the low-ranking personnel from the U.S. Navy was taken out from the area, and high officers from Roosevelt Rose Naval Station remained there. What happened after that, they didn't know, but they were sure about this huge craft that landed there. We're talking about flying saucer type craft of great size, you know? And many encounters, UFOs going into the water surrounding Vieques, coming out from the waters, the beach surrounding Vieques, alien, gray type aliens going into the lagoons and coming out from the lagoons. People see them, the fishermen see them all the time. So we were surprised at what we had found there. It was really incredible.
You also got testimony about the sky just splitting open with light. Mm-hmm. Tell us about that.
Well, there are several places here in Puerto Rico where that happened, okay? But I have the feeling that you're referring to the incident I mentioned about Vieques.
Right.
Okay? During Vieques, the U.S. Navy installed, together with the Radiation Corporation, what they call a over-the-horizon radar system, a rudder system. That's more or less like a mini harp system. But in some occasions, people have witnessed when they operate this system that something happened in the sky right above the antenna array, and it seems like it is as if the sky there's a crack in the sky, an opening in the sky. They can see another sky beyond, and we're talking about daylight. Okay, in the day, by day, they see the sky open, and this crack there, they see another sky, more blue, more bright, in this opening. And in some occasions, they see this ball of energy that come out from there and hit the ground. Okay, in the area, this has happened about 3 times already. In the article, I mentioned one of those occasions and what the witnesses saw. Different witnesses that were, some of them were horse riding in the area, others were in their cars, and they saw this happening on one occasion.
And on your site, you have a, I assume that's an artist conception of what they're describing.
Yes. That's an art I made about what they are describing personally.
Well, guess what? Jorge, on the other line, I have someone here in the United States who is a witness to the same thing happening here. Mm-hmm. And I would like to bring him on to talk with us for just a moment. And Jeff, are you with us?
Yeah.
Describe, because I was on the telephone with you, well, you described one of seeing this once. You told me about it was like the sky split open and there was flash of light, and then there was this, just for an instant, there was like a ball of, you didn't know if it was energy or it was a craft or what, and then it disappeared. And then the next time you saw it, I was on the phone with you when you saw it. But describe for us, describe both of those for us.
Yeah, pretty much about the same thing. I mean, it was incredibly fast, maybe 2-3 seconds at the most. And what I saw was, it was kind of like preceded by a very bright, almost cream-colored vertical line. Almost like it was cream-colored, maybe a little purple in the background, but it was predominantly cream colored, and it was almost blinding. And the next thing was almost like, I mean, and this happened over a space of just seconds, you know, and I had to kind of piece together what I saw here, but it was almost like when I mentioned the sky splitting open, it was almost like elevator doors opening up. And the first time, and actually both times, I saw this like almost like ball of energy, almost like a little mini sun kind of thing, just pop out, and then it just all disappeared. It almost like got sucked back into this thing. And both times I witnessed this, I was driving in my car, wasn't even paying attention to anything. All of a sudden there was this huge flash of light, and it was incredibly strange. I mean, it was as bright, if not brighter than lightning.
But this was, both of them were in the daytime, weren't they?
Yeah, exactly. And there were no, I can't remember exactly the second time. It may have been a little cloudy. First time, the sky was perfectly clear. There were no clouds in the sky, which is kind of what got my attention. You know, I mean, people are used to seeing heat lightning at night sometimes when there's no clouds in the sky, but during the daytime, something, especially when you got a nice sunny sky out, it kind of took me by surprise. It was so bright, it actually caused spots in front of my eyes that lasted for about 15 or 20 minutes. Kind of had these little blue blobs floating around.
Jorge, does that sound similar to what the people told you in Vieques?
Yes, totally similar. The only thing is that what they saw in Vieques always happened on top of this rudder facility.
Okay, so, Jeff, What's the location where this happened, where you saw it?
This happened in Tennessee, in Middle Tennessee. And I believe the first time that I saw it, it was from my location, which is just outside of Nashville. It was, I believe that was directly west the first time, and the second time south. So they weren't oriented in the same spot.
But are there major military installations around the Nashville area?
Oh, we got there's some bases around, but we have a pretty huge national laboratory here.
Mm-hmm.
We also have a lot of stuff having to do with nuclear power and refining and enriching uranium and things like that. So,
Jorge, if I understood you correctly, you've kind of come to the conclusion that this is that the split in the sky, that this event is the U.S. Navy engineering or making a traversable wormhole. Is that right?
Well, the thing is that this is a suspicion I have because of other things that have been happening here in Puerto Rico. If you read the blog, these things I wrote there, you have seen the articles about the situation in the southwest and mm-hmm. northwest of the archipelago Puerto Rico, in which wormholes are appearing, okay, from which UFOs come out. This has happened on several occasions. There are pictures, photographs, which have been analyzed. I made some analysis of this material that is shown there in the blog, too. And there's no doubt in my mind that we're dealing with wormholes that someone is using to get here from somewhere else, okay? And these craft that come out from these openings in the sky go down to the sea, to a site 15 to 20 miles south of the towns of Lajas and Cabo Rojo in the southwest of Puerto Rico, and always go down at the same site, at the site where for decades people have seen them going to or come out from all the time. We're talking about military personnel, pilots.
Okay, Jorge, hang on. We have to take a break. Jeff, hang on. And we'll be back, folks, right after this. So don't go away. All right, welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show, and we're talking with world-renowned journalist, investigative journalist, Jorge Martin, who is speaking to us from Puerto Rico, and we are also on the line with a witness, Jeff, from near Nashville in Tennessee. So, Jorge, you were describing that all of these you have these, the sky splits, there's a flash of light, a UFO comes out of it, and they always go down into the ocean, into the sea, at the same place, about 20 miles offshore. Is that right?
Yeah, that's in the southwest of Puerto Rico.
Uh-huh. Jeff, you saw something come out of that split in the sky the first time, but then it just disappeared.
Let me explain you something first, sir.
Okay.
In this situation in the southwest, it is different from the situation in Vieques with this crack in the sky.
Okay.
There, something elongated appears with an opening, like or a funnel-like structure, okay?
Mm-hmm.
On the side of this, whatever, this structure, there is like a steamy vapor coming out from, And from the opening, you see these flashes of light, and issuing out from these openings, these objects that fly all around the area and then go down to the sea and move away to other areas, okay, in different directions. That has been happening in the southwest and in the northwest. And also, recently, we have some pictures from the southeast of Puerto Rico, in the area of Yabucoa, where this is also happening in some occasions. That's differing in the way it manifests itself from the thing in Vieques. But the thing is that in 1991, the area of the lighthouse of the Cabo Rojo, in that area in the southwest, was controlled for about almost a month by military forces from the U.S. with lots of equipment, sophisticated equipment, radar-type equipment, what people describe, like cannon-like telescopes that afterwards we came to acknowledge that seems to be some type of laser telescopes or laser cannons. And they wouldn't say why they were doing that, and no one was allowed at the site, not even the Puerto Rican authorities. But one of the officials in charge of the whatever they were doing there said that they wouldn't give any explanation because what they were doing there had to do with national security of the United States. Now that we have come to the knowledge and these evidences of these wormholes opening in the sky in these areas, and that it has to do with the UFOs that are observed on many occasions at these sites, and also what has been happening in Vieques with the rudder, we have the feeling that the U.S. authorities are involved in some type of research that has to do with this type of wormholes, you know. And recently we came to the knowledge that the U.S. Air Force and the U.S. Navy are involved in a program that they made public recently to create traversable wormholes. Okay, and they published this teleportation physics study by the Air Force Research Laboratory and Air Force Material Command from Air Force Base, where they explain what they are doing, the feasibility of doing this, you know, with actual human technology, and it could be done easily. So I believe that all that they are doing in Vieques and other places have to do with this type of research.
Wow. As a matter of fact, on your site, you have the cover page from that report, don't you?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So everybody needs to get over there and see that. Now, Jeff, you are extremely highly educated. And as a matter of fact, I happen to know that you have a PhD in some rather esoteric stuff. And you work daily with engineering. So let me ask you, is there anything that you've heard Jorge Martin say that astounds you, or is what he's saying something entirely within scientific feasibility as far as you're concerned?
Well, I have to say that, you know, just the mere mention of over-the-horizon radar, you know, kind of raises an eyebrow. Because there's been a lot of weird things done with it. I mean, if you recall back the Russian woodpecker.
Yeah.
Over the horizon radar and things like that. I mean, we really don't know. I mean, those were directed energy signals. So the possibility that the technology exists at this point in time to open up wormholes would not surprise me. I don't have any direct knowledge of that, but if we don't have it now, it's just a matter of time.
Okay, so you wouldn't be, you're not at all surprised if it is going on?
No, and especially with a lot of other reports, you know, the ex-head of Lockheed Martin, Skunk Works, talking about this, and You really can't tell where the information, what quality the information is and how believable it is. But there's been so much talk about things of this nature. And like Jorge said, if they've actually recovered alien craft and things like that, then, you know, people on this planet are pretty good at reverse engineering things and figuring things out. So I would be terribly surprised if we hadn't gotten to that point.
Okay, so Jorge, let me ask you a question now, going back to the Castro story. Because Jeff has just brought up, you know, if we have recovered UFOs and aliens, then we would have certainly reverse engineered it. The Castro story, first of all, your source for that story is a highly respected political figure in Puerto Rico, right?
Yes, that's correct.
And he's a personal friend of Castro's, right?
That's correct.
And Castro, in telling this story, did he, it's my understanding that he did, but let me ask, did he tell that when he was shown the recovered UFO and the dead alien pilot, was he told,
yes.
was he told then that the USA also has recovered craft and alien bodies?
Yes. He said that Castro had told him that the Russian authorities that took him there told him that they knew that the U.S. had similar facilities in the United States where they had craft and alien bodies too.
So, on both sides of the ocean...
It was probably back in the 60s.
So on both sides of the ocean, you would have had the top scientists in the Soviet Union, the top scientists in the USA, working on back engineering, reverse engineering these craft.
Mm-hmm.
And if these craft use some type of wormhole to get here, then perhaps they would have discovered how that craft activates the wormhole.
It's probable.
What do you think, Jeff?
Well, definitely. I mean, given conventional physics and what we know, there's no way we can traverse huge expanses of the universe without doing something like that, manipulating space-time, creating wormholes, folding space-time back on itself. So the mere fact that, you know, unless they're, you know, local, someplace, you know, on planets we've got here in our solar system.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is if those recovered spacecraft have a way to activate a wormhole, they would have, in reverse engineering it, discovered that, or likely would have discovered that and how it works, right?
Oh, definitely, or at least they've got craft. If that's the case, they would have craft that are capable of activating the wormhole, whether they could replicate it or not.
All right. Jeff, I want to thank you for being with us. Jorge, I want you to stay with me for just a moment, if you can. Can you?
Yes.
Okay. Jeff, thanks for being with us.
Hey, no problem.
All right. Folks, we're going to step away for a break, and we'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show, and those of you who are joining us just now in this second hour, welcome aboard. We are, in fact, delighted to have you with us, and whatever it is that kept you away for the first hour, you have my sincere sympathy. Man, what have you missed? Oh, my. We're talking this evening with Jorge Martin. He is a world-renowned investigative journalist, and he is the one who broke the story about Fidel Castro having seen a recovered UFO and the body of its dead alien pilot in the Soviet Union, back in the days of the Soviet Union, and has pretty high sources on this. Jorge, are you still with us? Okay, outstanding. Now, you also, I think, you know, that story is just groundbreaking and earth-shaking. But also, the story about these cracks in the sky, these wormholes that UFOs come out of and fly around Puerto Rico and fly down into the ocean off of the coast of Puerto Rico. That is astounding as well. And the fact that you have found a document where the U.S. military talks about how to develop a traversable or travelable wormhole and that it's entirely possible to do it would not be that difficult.
Yes, The surprising thing about what they say in their study, Mr. Smith, is that until now, physicists theorized in the sense that the amount of energy that would be needed to keep open the walls of these wormholes that could be created would be incredibly vast. And there was no way for us to have that type of energy source. But according to the teleportation physics study made by the Air Force, that we're talking about, they already have the ways to do it feasibly and easily with compressed light pulses of laser light. Okay, so with the actual technology we have here in Earth now, okay, and that the U.S. Armed Forces have and the main companies have under their control, they can do it without needing such a vast amount of energy to keep this wormhole open.
Okay.
So we're dealing with very heavy stuff in this matter now.
All right. I want to invite those who are listening to us around the world to join this conversation. And, you know, if you've got a question, this is absolutely groundbreaking, earth-shaking information. And this is the guy that brought it to you. This is the guy who wrote the articles that broke this news to the world. So if you've got a question or if you've got a comment, what better opportunity? Right now, you can call and talk to Jorge and ask him your question. Maybe you've been to Puerto Rico. Maybe you have seen some of these things that he's talking about. But the telephone number is 623-444-5889. 623-444-5889. So if you're in Canada or if you're in the USA or Puerto Rico, give us a call at 623-444-5889. If you are outside of the USA or outside of Canada or outside of Puerto Rico, use our flash message option on the website. Just go over to my website, scroll down, you'll see the picture about tonight's show. Click the link right above the picture. It says flash message, and you can participate in the show. By the way, if you're in Puerto Rico and you wish to use the flash message option, you may do so. But I do know you can make a direct call. It's not all that expensive from Puerto Rico because I'm doing it right now, calling Puerto Rico. Okay, We have a caller on the line, so caller, your first name and from where are you calling?
Hello, Kevin. This is Jerry in Phoenix.
Hello, Jerry.
Fantastic show this evening.
Thank you.
Hello, Jorge Martin. How are you this evening?
Fine, thank you, sir.
I have a couple of questions for you. The first one, you said that, and I wasn't really clear on this, so maybe you can help clear it up for me. You said that this thing, when it opens up, that something goes into the ocean, and it's about 20 miles offshore of Puerto Rico. Is that correct?
That's correct, that's correct.
Has anyone gone out there in a boat to investigate this? It seems like there would be.
Many people, even the U.S. Navy authorities have been there, you know. In several occasions, they have restricted the area doing something at that site, you know. So they are aware of what's going on because this has been witnessed by many people for decades, okay. If you go to the southwest and you talk to the fishermen of the whole region of that side of the island, they'll tell you incredible stories of what everything they have seen there, observed. A large crab going underwater there, coming out from the water, chasing their boats, their fishing boats, underwater, you know, USOs right under their boats. They have seen these aliens in dragoons in the area. The pilots, both military and civilians and commercial, have seen these flying saucers flying by them, you know, when they're in the area. And this is happening all over Puerto Rico, but that area in the southwest is one of the hottest spots in the island.
And does this happen with any regularity? Is there a frequency where it's predictable?
Well, mostly close to the Christmas season, and by this time, okay, in summer here in Puerto Rico, okay, June, July, August. Right now, there have been several sightings in these past few weeks there in the southwest and also close to the, maybe you know, if you have come to Puerto Rico, the rainforest, or Junca rainforest in the east,
mm-hmm.
close to where the U.S. Naval Rooster Road used to be. And there have been several sightings there. As a matter of fact, that area of the rainforest, even though many people don't know about it, it's another site where there's a lot of alien activity. UFOs are seen very frequently coming out from that area and going into that area. And there are rumors that there is a sort of alien Area 51 facility there too, in the premises of a U.S. Navy radar site there in Eastern Peak, what they call the Eastern Peak in the mountains there.
Okay. So if we were to come out there and go chasing after this, what do you think the problems would be for us?
No, no problem at all. You can move freely and go to these places and talk to the people, the witnesses, and check things for yourself. I know you would be amazed by everything you hear because it's very open. And if you talk to the policemen and the fishermen and the people in this area, they'll tell you everything they have seen.
Well, I was talking to my wife, Kathy, and we were discussing that it might be just the thing to go and try to find out what this is, at least make an attempt at it.
Mm-hmm.
Jorge, let me tell you something.
Maybe we can help you out with it.
Jorge, let me tell you something that you don't know about who you're talking to. This is Jerry Wills. He is the executive producer for Expeditions TV.
Mm-hmm.
And so when he's talking about coming there to Puerto Rico, he's talking, I guess, Jerry, you're talking about coming there to do an expedition and to film it, right?
Well, if we can get it on film, get the sky cracking open and ships raising up or coming out, I think that'd be great.
Yeah.
Well, I can assure you that it will happen right at the moment when you are there, but it happens, you know. People have seen them.
Yeah, well understood. Well, I'm just fascinated by this. Gosh, what a fascinating story. All the details are just absolutely amazing. I'll get off the line and let you folks take some other calls. Thank you for taking the call, Kevin, and thank you for talking to me, Jorge.
Thank you yourself. Thank you, you sir, for your interest in the matter.
Thank you, Jerry. All right, 623-444-5889. 623-444-5889. If you have a question or a comment. And again, if you happen to be outside of the USA or outside of Canada, you can use our flash message option, and that's very easy to do. Go to my website, kevinsmithshow.com. And when you get there, scroll down. You'll see the picture about tonight's show. Just click where it says flash message right above that picture. Jorge, you said something pretty interesting when you told Jerry he would be surprised how freely you can just go anywhere you want to go and talk to people and they'll tell you what they know.
Yeah.
Why is it that in the United States it's almost Gestapo tactics to keep people from knowing, and yet in Puerto Rico it's open?
Well, in Puerto Rico, in most places, you can go freely, move by yourself and go to these places and talk to the witnesses and the people in the area. I would say that the most restricted side would be the rainforest, especially in certain parts of the rainforest, you know, that are restricted. And in many occasions, apparently because of what's going on there, there are certain parts of the forest that are allegedly are public, are open to the public. But people have gone to this place and they have been stopped by this high-level security personnel who take them out, you know, in a very rough manner, and they are not allowed to enter certain areas. And these are the areas where the heavy use activity and alien activity is going on. But that's there in the rainforest. But all over the island, the area is open. You can move by yourself freely, and you can do your own research.
Okay, let's go back to the telephone, and caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Kevin, this is Steve from Georgia.
Hi, Steve.
Jorge, I want to thank you, first of all, for all the years of hard work and the risks you've taken in the work that you do. I find it interesting that this sky cracking open phenomenon takes place over that mini HARP site, you say.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and we all know that the Navy owns HARP. You know, the HARP budget is part of the U.S. Navy's budget. So that would make a lot of sense that the Navy's all wrapped around this thing. I also find it very interesting that the activity seems to be busier during the solstices, you know, around Christmas, which is the winter solstice, and in late June and July, the summer solstice. I find that very interesting too, given the role of solar plasma in interstellar travel. And then you also mentioned that the technology used in keeping a wormhole open would involve pressed electrolytes. Did I understand you to say that right?
Well, the study made by the Air Force says that one of the means they have to do that in a feasible manner would be with compressed light, laser light.
Well,
okay, very strong compressed laser light.
That would coincide with plasma technology, because that's exactly what super compressed electrolytes are.
No. He's not saying electrolytes. He's saying laser lights.
Oh, laser lights. Oh, I'm sorry. I thought he said electrolytes. Okay, because that would be plasma technology, because the electrolytes are positive and negative charged ions, and if you super compress those things, then you come up with plasma, the plasma energy that is at the core of the Earth and that the sun is made of. And I would wonder if somehow that technology isn't included in the laser light technology that he's referring to.
Mm-hmm. I'm in accord with you. And if you go to the internet and you check in a search machine for the teleportation physics study on traversable wormholes that the Air Force is doing, you see the whole report there. You know, they have this open this public PDF that you can download and read the whole explanation they are given.
Well, that's outstanding information, Jorge, and thank you again for all your hard work, and Kevin, thank you for taking my call.
Absolutely. Thanks for the call.
Thank you, sir.
All right, 623-444-5889. And from Puerto Rico, we have Leonardo, who has sent me a flash message. Hi, Kevin and Jorge. I'm sorry to say that my cell does not work inside my house. Senor Martin, back when I was in the force, I used to read your magnificent magazine on my graveyard shifts. That's where I started to get interested in the UFO subject, especially with all the sightings going on in the island. Some of my friends that work in the Lagos, Cartagena area constantly saw UFO and alien grays and freely talked about the cases. And that's from Leonardo in Puerto Rico.
Well, I would like to get in contact with Leonardo. He's in contact with the program, and he can send us an email. Okay, please do, because I'm very interested in the information you have and what your colleagues saw in Laguna Cartagena and in the Southwest, okay?
Okay, so Leonardo, there, you hear that. Now, the... tell us the name of your magazine.
The magazine is Enigmas del Millennium.
Enigmas of the Millennium.
The Millennium, yes. Mm-hmm. The Millennium's Enigma. Okay, mm-hmm. It is a Spanish language magazine.
Mm-hmm.
And in the blog we have two versions, one in Spanish and one in English, for English-speaking people.
Mm-hmm. Well, I have, you know, it's interesting. I have quite a large audience across the Spanish-speaking world in Mexico and in South America, but also in Puerto Rico. And, of course, I do the show in English, and that's because yo entiendo español, pero no hablo muy bueno.
Poco,
poco. Y cada día poco más. But, yeah, it's, we've got a lot of people across the Spanish-speaking world that listen to this show, even in Spain. And that, you know, but we, a huge Spanish-speaking population all through Mexico and then South America. I want to ask you a question. About, by the way, folks, 623-444-5889. You have the opportunity to speak to the man who broke the story and knows the sources. And what a story. What a story. You have the opportunity right now. Take the opportunity. Don't be a sheep. Don't be a mushroom. Get off your duff. And call and tell him what you want to tell him. Ask him what you want to ask him. Okay, it's a rare opportunity. All right, now I want to ask you a question about Granada. Years ago, late 70s, early 80s, Granada, the prime minister was Eric Gehry.
Mm-hmm.
Eric Gehry saw a crashed UFO. And he saw the body of an alien on a beach in Granada.
I understand that. There seems to be something to that.
That's not all that far away from Puerto Rico, is it?
No.
What is it, about 400 or 500 miles?
Excuse me?
It's about, what, 400 or 500 miles away from Puerto Rico?
Something like that to the southeast of Puerto Rico.
Mm-hmm. And he made a speech in the United Nations and got the United Nations General Assembly to vote to have a worldwide investigation into UFOs. He was to come back in, I think, 2 weeks, meet with the Secretary General, and start putting together the committee that would organize all of this. When he came back to New York to meet with the Secretary General, at the very day and time he was to meet with the Secretary General, a coup took place in Grenada, and he was no longer the Prime Minister.
Yes.
And so the effort failed. The United States of America and Great Britain lobbied very, very hard behind the scenes, putting a lot of pressure on other countries, trying to get them to not vote with Eric Gehry's proposition. But the other countries voted with Eric Gehry anyway. And then there was a coup. What do you think?
Well, I have heard the story about Sir Eric Gehry having witnessed this downed craft and this alien body in one of the beaches of Grenada, together with some of the people who work with his staff. You know, they say that that was the thing that sparked his interest in the UFO matter, and what sparked all his work in the United Nations to get this out and to do for the United Nations to do a professional open investigation on the UFO situation in planet Earth and the apparent alien, the reality of alien life here on Earth. But unfortunately, we have no means to really substantiate that, you know. Even though some people close to him have spoken in the sense that it seems to be the truth that this happened, okay? But afterwards, the group of attacks he had with these socialist people, and also the thing that happened later on with the invasion of Granada, disappeared all the evidence.
Well, you probably already know these facts, but let me mention them for our audience. But you probably already are aware of it. This alien body was taken to the medical university there in Granada. He was deposed and by the coup. And then within 24 hours, the United States recognized the coup. They recognized that as being the legitimate government within 24 hours. And then very shortly after that, what happens is we have the invasion of Grenada, and they said we have to go in and rescue these American students at the medical school.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing. Because all of the other countries...
The alien corps unless you what?
That's right. All of the other countries who had foreign students there in Grenada arranged for charter flights to get their students out. America refused to do it. They kept our students there so they could say, we have to go rescue them. All right, we have to take a break. We'll be back.
Oh, this is Vegas Gehry. Listen, we got aliens here taking all our money and the people that come into this town, they leave broke. I need you to investigate them. Call me. Hey, 70... If they haven't got me yet, please help me. See you, Kevin.
All right, welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show, and my guest this evening, journalist and publisher, Jorge Martin from Puerto Rico. Jorge, let me ask you a question about something we haven't talked about. I'm sure because you published this magazine about Enigmas of the Millennium. Because of that, you're probably aware that around the world there are people who have reported hearing these very strange sounds coming from the sky or from the earth. They're not sure where they're coming from. Are you familiar with that?
Yes.
Have you had any of that reported in Puerto Rico?
I have had two reports. One from the central part of the island, the mountains in the town of Utuado, and the south part of the island in the city of Ponce.
Did anybody make any recordings of it?
No, so far no.
Mm-hmm.
But they describe more or less the same thing that have been described worldwide. You know, this low tone sound that's coming from the sky.
Do you have any information about what that might be, or do you have any speculation or a hypothesis about it?
Well, my hypothesis, based on some of the things we have discussed already, to me, it seems to be some type of heart-like experimentation that's going on.
And you do have this mini-heart facility over at Vieques?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And you have pictures of it, as a matter of fact.
Yes, you can go there by yourself and take pictures of the whole site.
Is it still occupied? Is it still functioning?
It's functioning, yes.
And they don't stop you from going there and taking pictures?
No, you can go into the actual site because it is restricted. But it is open. There's a link fence. And you can see through the whole area and move around it and take pictures and videos or whatever you want.
That is so, so different from the way they do it here in the United States. Over here, it's locked down.
On top of the antenna array system.
Say that again?
That many of the guards who have worked there have witnessed flying saucer type craft right on top of the antenna of the array system.
And they talk about it openly and freely.
Yes. I have them in video. You would like to see some copies of these statements made by these people.
Well, yes, I would like to see those. I certainly would. Do you have those on your website, or...?
Not yet. I'm planning on them, but putting some on the website.
So your investigation... into what the true situation was in Vieques when the Navy evacuated that island. They made everybody leave.
They did not evacuate the island.
No?
Okay. They kept the inhabitants in a central portion of the island. And the other two sections of the island, to the east and to the west, belong to the U.S. Navy base there. But the people remain living there in the center part of the island.
So what were they doing during all of the dust up about the U.S. Navy being there? And they were saying they wanted the island for bombing practice or something like that. And they were saying in the news that the Navy wanted the island to be evacuated, but it didn't get evacuated.
No, because it was too difficult to do that, you know. And finally, they agreed back in the 50s to leave the people there, but they kept these two parts of the island for the U.S. Navy base, and the central portion of the island is where the people used to live.
And it's still occupied by civilians now, right?
And now the Vieques Island is open everywhere, but the area where the bombing practices used to be made at, you know, that is totally restricted, and the Department of the Interior and the U.S. Wildlife Service control.
What do the officials in Puerto Rico say about the UFO activity? Do they make any statements about it?
Not openly. No. They know it happens, you know. And years ago, on three different occasions, the Puerto Rico legislature and the House of Representatives here in Puerto Rico they tried to make some... they presented a resolution in order to make some official investigation on the UFO situation here in Puerto Rico. But as always happened, as you know, Mr. Smith, you know, the pressure grew up from the U.S. agencies, and at the last moment they wouldn't do anything because the pressure was too much, you know. They wouldn't allow that to be done.
What about NASA? Does NASA do anything in Puerto Rico?
NASA has been doing some type of strange things and experiments here in the island, and down there, precisely down there in the southwest, where all this is happening, the wormholes I told you about and everything, and where they had, the U.S. government used to have this big radar balloon system, doing something very secret that no one really knows about until recently. On many occasions, people in the surrounding areas, where this site is in Lajas, the so-called Aerostat facility, witnessed at about 2-3 a.m. in the morning, these convoys of military personnel with NASA bands and going into the site. But always at that late time in 2-3 a.m. in the morning. Okay, and we also received information that it was given openly by policemen who were there in security, even to Mr. Yumichi Jawi, a Japanese UFO investigator and TV producer of documentaries. Then one visit we made there some years ago, that people from NASA and from the CIA were frequently visiting the site.
But nobody has any idea what they were doing at this site, right?
No, but there are many rumors, and there's the suspicion that they were dealing with the alien situation there, checking on what's going on in the whole area.
Mm-hmm.
The official excuse for installing that base there with this radar blip was that they were looking at the drug trafficking situation and the illegal undocumented aliens from the Dominican Republic that come to Puerto Rico. But the thing is that no real drug trafficking has been stopped there by the use of that blimp, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I have also, this might be of interest to you, I have this statement made to me by the person who installed for the U.S. government and the Puerto Rican government that system there, engineer Sixto Perez, who is Puerto Rican. That when they installed that there, they saw in the screens, okay? They constantly saw UFOs going at great speed, making sudden stops, moving to other directions, and disappearing at great speed. And they were told flatly not to talk about it to anyone. But they saw them all the time, and he noticed that apparently they were using that data they were gathering to see the places their objects were going to, where they came out from, their trajectories, everything.
Wow. All right, let's go to the telephone. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Kevin, this is Rusty from Michigan.
Hello, Rusty.
Hi, Mr. Martin.
Hi.
Has anyone, you mentioned about these craft coming down, will go down into the water and become UFOs. Has anybody, went down, scuba dived, or went down in the water to check possibly where they might be going?
Well, the problem is that besides they are going down to it very deep, okay? It is of the continental shelf, if we can call it like that, of Puerto Rico, to the south, where the continental shelf goes down very deep. Okay?
Okay.
At that area is where this is going on. And that's in what they call the Pitahaya sector. And the so-called They call it the wall, the fishermen there. Okay. It's very deep.
Have you noticed any, like, with the appearance of whatever comes making the sky split or the appearance of these craft, have you been able to put together, has there been, like, any abductions that coincide with those happenings?
Well, there have been abduction cases there, too. Yeah, people who have been taken to Analesh underground on their sea base in that area, okay? And the interesting thing is that what they describe, they are different people from different parts. One of them is military from the U.S. to the Puerto Rico National Guard. He's an officer, and this happened to him. And they all describe the same thing. The same place, the same type of aliens, the same type of installations down there. And they are told the same thing, that in, when they have the experiences that they are down there, that they have this base for the for maintaining their craft, that they have been there for a long time, and that they would already like to interact with us socially, okay, with the human species, but they are afraid of the of what the authorities would do. But they are willing already to do that, you know, to come out and interact openly with the human species.
Wow. All right. Well, that's all the questions I have. Thanks a lot.
Thanks for the call. Okay, now, these people that have been abducted and they've been taken into this undersea base, they have seen these aliens. And how do they describe them? What do these aliens look like?
There are two main types of aliens. The so-called gray-type aliens, both small and full-sized, and also human-like aliens.
Have they reported seeing any uniforms on these aliens?
Yes, and mostly this, the tight-fitting, one-piece, silver, metallic-looking uniforms. And in some cases, like a tunic, like a white tunic.
And they have not seen any humans with military uniforms there, is that right?
No. No, so far I haven't received anything like that.
In the abduction cases that have been reported to you, are any of them negative or are they positive? How do the people feel about these abduction cases?
Well, in my experience, about talking about the research I have done with these cases here in Puerto Rico, I can tell you that they seem to be benign. They don't seem to be hostile to us, okay? In several of the cases I have, they actually heal people. They cure people, okay?
Okay, now we're going to pick up there when we come back, but we have a break taking over right now. Ladies and gentlemen, we shall be back right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. Talk radio like nowhere else on earth. We are talking this evening with Jorge Martin, and he's speaking to us from San Juan, Puerto Rico. He is the publisher of a magazine in English. It's Enigma of the Millennium, Enigmas of the Millennium. And he is a well-known, world-renowned investigative journalist in the field of UFOs. Okay, so, Jorge, because we have such a brief amount of time left, and we have a call holding. I want to skip what we were talking about for the moment and go ahead and take the call. Is that okay with you?
Okay.
All right. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Kevin, this is Jerome from Pennsylvania.
Yes, Jerome.
Hi, Mr. Martin. I was wondering if on this undersea base, am I correct in assuming that you do not believe this is a joint venture between humans and ETs?
In that area of Puerto Rico, in the southern, I'm not sure of that. In the area of the rainforest, I have my doubts that this might be going on.
Do you have in the United States we have a UFO disclosure movement. Do you have a similar movement in Costa Rica?
No, Puerto Rico.
Puerto Rico, I'm sorry.
Puerto Rico.
I apologize.
Mm-hmm.
In Puerto Rico?
Yes.
No, so far the statement they have been gathering, you know, around the island.
Yeah, but do you have a disclosure movement where people are trying to get the government to disclose what they know?
Yes, we have tried, but no way.
Uh-huh.
They won't budge. No, they won't do it.
Kevin, you mentioned that, you know, it seems like they're much more open down there than they are in the United States. I don't think it's so much that they're open. I think it's the authorities just don't care about the common person, what they think.
Well, it's more open. I'll tell you this. You go to Alaska and try to walk right up on the HAARP antennas and take pictures and see what happens. Jesse Ventura found out. But you can do that in Puerto Rico.
And the other thing is that Puerto Rico is only 100 miles by 35 miles, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And you can go anywhere all over the island in a couple of hours. So and the space is open. And this is happening all over the island, so it's very hard, very difficult for the authorities to stop people from seeing this or stop you from doing some research on it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's very hard.
Kevin, you were on a roll with your questions, and I was going to call earlier, and you were just doing a good job, so I waited. So I'll let you get back to your conversation. And I appreciate you being a guest, Mr. Martin.
Thank you, sir.
All right, thanks for the call. Look, we're almost out of time. I'm sorry?
Another thing, excuse me, is that many people don't know about this, but if you go to the Arecibo Radio Observatory and you talk to the guards who give a surveillance service there, they'll tell you a lot of stories about the UFOs they have seen there on top of the antenna.
Wow.
We're talking about large cylinder-shaped craft. We're talking about flying saucer-type craft. We're talking about spheres that come very frequently and fly over the area.
Okay.
And we have statements by those, some of those guards saying that, you know, what they have observed there.
Well, I'll tell you, you are absolutely a wealth of information, but I want to ask you one more question before we run out of time. One more question about Fidel Castro. You publish both in English and in Spanish. So he speaks both English and Spanish. It's not unreasonable to think he may have read your magazine from time to time. He may have read this article that you've published. So what if Fidel Castro gets in touch with you and says, Jorge Martin, you come here to Cuba, and I will give you an interview about that UFO. Would you go talk to him?
Well, if he gives me the interview, I'd make it.
You would go, okay, so...
You know, and that would be real news, you know.
Well, there's every possibility that Fidel Castro is listening to this show. I don't know that he is, but there is every possibility. And so I would like to invite Fidel Castro to strongly consider contacting Jorge Martin in Puerto Rico and invite him to come and talk with you, Mr. Castro, about this UFO that you saw in the Soviet Union. You wrote, sir, about the need to enrich our enlightenment and our knowledge. You could do that by giving this story to Jorge Martin. You could do that. Jorge, what would you ask? What's the question you would ask him?
As U.S. citizens, I will have to be invited to go there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know.
Otherwise, I can't do that.
I know. What's the main question that you would ask Fidel Castro about this UFO thing?
I would ask him what he really saw there. I would try to get to gather all the data possible of what he observed there, and how this repercutes with the situation in Cuba, because I know by other means of many incidents that have happened there for decades, you know, mm-hmm. that are hardly known by the people around the world. But they're very important events that happened, in which when the Russian bases were there in Cuba back in the 60s and 70s, there were several incidents in which the Russian scientists there participated in investigation of this incident with the Cuban authorities. And I would like to know whatever they have on that type of investigation they made, what was the outcome of that, you know. They have this incident that happened in the 70s in which two mixed jet fighters from Cuba encounter out from Isla de Pinos a large spheric UFO, and they tried to gun it down, and the one of the mix was destroyed by the UFO. And I would like to know what they have to say about that incident and what happened on that occasion, you know.
Well, I hope you get the opportunity, Jorge. I hope you get to go there and interview Fidel Castro. He's thrown out the gauntlet that we need to enrich our knowledge. And I would say to Mr. Castro, you can do that by granting that interview to Jorge Martin. Invite him to come talk to you, sir. All right, Jorge, I have to close the show. But I want you, if you will, to stay on the telephone with me for a moment as I bring this show to a close, because I'd like to chat with you just for a couple of minutes here after we go off the air.
Okay.
All right. Thanks for being with us. Well, thank you for being with us. All right, ladies and gentlemen, where else are you going to get it? I guarantee you, nowhere. Nowhere else. It happens here. That's why we say it is talk radio like nowhere else on earth. Other people are talking about that story. You got the opportunity to talk to the guy who reported that story and who knows the sources. We need you to stand with us. We need you to help us, because we are 100% listener supported. If you like what you get here at the Kevin Smith Show and you want to keep getting it, we need you to stand with us, and nobody but you can do that. Nobody but you can fix it. So what you do is you go to my website, look up there where it says join, click that. It's only $7.50 a month. And for $7.50 a month, most of you would never miss it. But it can mean the difference. Honest to God, it can mean the difference between us being here tomorrow and not. And you get tons and tons and tons of great stuff in our members' community. Well, my friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do too. You can call me whatever you want to call me. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, so long, everybody.